What a busy day today.
Oh gosh, yeah. I couldn't face too many days like that one again.
I had a talk about my new book at a library in North Sydney.
And I understand you went to the wrong
I
library.
went wrong library,
Oh my
and I had
gosh.
this mad dash. And the ridiculous thing is, we went to the wrong library, but we got there like 3/4 of an hour early. And then realized, oh my God, we're in the wrong place. We're 20 minutes away from where we need to be.
Oh no, but you arrived in time or?
Just a couple of minutes late, but it wasn't a good look.
Oh dear. Well, I had something similar. I got the train and I was doing a talk in Hornsby. And I don't know, but I went to the wrong platform in Town Hall. And then I had to run to another platform and then realised I was on the wrong one again. And I had to run to a third one. So I
Right.
was really very hot.
Dragging a bag full of books.
That's right. And then the train kind of stopped somewhere. And I thought, this is weird. Everybody got off. And I found a man cleaning the train. I said, is this train going to Hornsby? He said, oh, no, you have to go switch to that one over there. So I had another mad dash to the next train. So, yeah, it was a bit hectic, really.
Right. But the good news is your new book is being taken to the Frankfurt Book Fair, I believe.
Yeah, that's right. This book is coming out in April. It's a non-fiction, and they're all pretty excited about it, and I'm excited about it
Well,
too.
so am I. Okay, well, let's get excited about things related to strata. What have we got happening?
Well, I've done a story about the latest trend in strata, which is we know about downsizers, we know about investors. This is called downvesting,
Right.
a kind of a combination, a hybrid of each.
Right. So,
So we'll
okay,
talk
you'll
about
explain
that.
that. Yep. We've got this thing, getting another push in the past week, which is build to rent. They're getting a bit of a push along. And just today, the Victorian government has announced huge plans to build lots more apartments. It will be apartments. And I mean, I think they said 80,000 a year for the next 10 years or something like that, which is a lot. I'm not sure that figure doesn't sound right, but they've also brought in a levy on Airbnb of 7.5%.
Well, is that the first
Airbnb
jurisdiction to do that?
is the first. Yes. I mean, I think that Hobart has increased the rates on Airbnb properties, and I think a couple of other councils have done that as well in Victoria. But this is an actual levy. If you get $100 from your tenants, your renters, your guests, you got to pay $7.50 to the government. We'll talk about that as well. Lot to get through again, as ever. I'm Jimmy Thompson. I write the Flat Chat column for the Australian Financial Review.
And I'm Sue Williams, and I write about property for Domain.
And this is the Flat Chat Wrap. Sue, tell me about downvesting.
Well, it's this new trend that they've identified, really. And I think it's been going on. It kind of started during COVID, where lots of people bought properties that they thought they would like to downsize into. You know, maybe they're on the coast or inland a bit and maybe a bit cheaper. And when they move in there and they can sell their house
Or
that
their
they've lived in
flat.
or their apartment that they've lived in for a long time, they can sell for a profit and they can get rid of their mortgage, things like that. But since the end of COVID, they've discovered that people aren't actually moving into these new apartments that they've bought on the coast and in the country. They're hedging their bets a bit because they realise that eventually they want to live there, but they're not quite ready yet. They want a couple more years of living in their regular home. So maybe it's they're just not emotionally ready. Always when you move into an apartment from a house, you'd have to declutter, you'd have to
Oh, God,
get rid of so much stuff.
yeah.
And they're just not quite prepared to do that yet.
Right.
Or they might still be working and they can't work from home all the time. So they're just thinking of they want to delay that move a bit. So when they choose these places to downsize into, they're also choosing places which are going to make a good investment.
Right.
So therefore, in the interim, before they've moved in, they're going to rent them out on a regular residential rent. Or they're going to use them as weekenders, or sometimes they're going to put them on short-term rental platforms, although in Victoria they'll be paying for the privilege, I understand.
Right, yes. It sounds like an interesting, it's like investing in future downsizing, hence the
Downsizing,
downvesting.
downvesting.
Yes.
Yeah, there's a new term for everything now,
Is there
isn't
a
there?
chance that some of these downvestment apartments will sit empty for a while?
Well, that's always possible. But at the same time, you know, people bought them for a reason. They found them quite pretty attractive in the first place. So sometimes they might be putting off the actual move, but they're starting to think, well, yes, I'd really like to go there. And then they start planning to get rid of stuff and planning the kind of furniture they want for their new apartment, and then start getting excited about it and move in sooner rather than later. My brother, for instance, bought a downsizer place outside of Sydney in Port Macquarie, and he planned that that would be a downvestment, really.
Yeah.
He'd go in there eventually. But then he kind of kept looking at it and thinking, actually, I really like it. And so him and his wife moved there.
Right. Because I'm thinking, you know, you said about decluttering, and that's one of the things we keep getting people coming to us and saying, oh, we'd really like to put your apartment on the market because apartments in this building are selling for a lot of money. And, you know, the prices that they kind of suggest are pretty decent if you don't need to live somewhere. But one of the things that stops me from even entertaining the idea is the thought of what you call decluttering.
Oh, gosh, yes.
20 years of accumulated clutter, books, magazines, things, free gifts. I have a million pens. I don't know. There should be a pen recycling thing somewhere.
And, Jimmy, when you say it's 20 years worth of junk.
Sorry. It's actually all the other years.
Treasures, I mean. If you remember, before we moved into this apartment, when we were leaving our other apartment, I said to you, why don't you kind of declutter before we move into our nice new apartment? And you said, oh, no, no, it'll be best if I take everything in and then I'll declutter. Mm. So this is actually at least 30 years of stuff. So don't say it's just 20
okay,
years.
Okay, right. But it's a lot of stuff. And the thought of decluttering is just to move house. Just to move house is horrific.
Yeah.
But then I also think I got to do it at some point. And I think if you get rid of all your treasures so that you can move house more easily, you might actually go, oh, I quite like it here now that it doesn't have all this clutter.
Yes, and you might have loads more space for new treasures.
Yeah, or not.
And I'm a big advocate for people getting in a professional declutterer. And I think they go through stuff quite ruthlessly and put it in different piles and say, do you really need this old AC/DC t-shirt? And will you ever fit into this dress again? And I mean, I think it is quite brutal and tough, but it probably does the trick.
Yeah, I think the thing is that if somebody was doing that in our flat, I'd want to be there while they were choosing what got thrown out. And then
if I'm
going to be there, I may as well
do it myself,
but then I can never get around to doing it myself because I'm too busy recording podcasts and writing columns and writing books. All right, so downvesting.
Heard it here first.
You heard it here first, indeed. When we come back, we're going to talk about the latest tax on short-term holiday rentals that has been announced in Victoria. That's after this.
Tell me what's happening in Victoria.
Well, this is an announcement. We're expecting this, that short-term rental properties in Victoria are going to attract a tax of 7.5%.
Which is that of income from rental income?
That's from the rental income. That's off the top, I believe. Now, this raises a whole bunch of questions, such as, well, how are they going to know who's got short-term holiday rentals?
Mm.
But they reckon that this is going to bring in $70 million a year, which they can put towards more housing.
Hmm.
$70 million doesn't go very far. That's a small block of flats, basically.
Mm, what
it's really going to do also is
get people to put stuff back on the rental market, maybe.
Yeah. And you've got to think this is a good idea. I mean, these disruptors have had a fair old run for the past few years of just getting away with things that were basically illegal. They were flouting planning laws that said you cannot have holiday rentals in these residential blocks. And now the government has said, it is actually disrupting us too much. We're going to curb it. We're going to force people to pull back a bit. And the thing is, the other message that's coming out of the whole short-term holiday rental market is it doesn't make that much more money. Once you've paid the agency that comes in and changes your sheets every twice a week or something like that, and all the other ancillary costs, the profit goes down and down and down. You've got to furnish the place. And I think a lot of people will go, that's 7.5%, nah, it's not worth it.
Yeah. And it's hard because I guess the people who are making big profit are the ones who've got, like, you know, 20 Airbnb properties. And so therefore they develop it as a business and they either pay professional companies to come in and do it and get economies of scale, or they look after it themselves.
Or hire cleaners and things themselves rather than doing it through a company.
Or those people who have guests in their home, which was the original idea of Airbnb. But even that's kind of changed a bit because, you know, these days you think, well, if you're getting four people to come and stay in your home and you're looking after them and you've got a five-bedroom home, really you should be moving out of that house. You should be downsizing because you only need one bedroom or two bedrooms at most and leaving that house for a young family to move into, really.
Yep.
You know, the sort of dynamics have changed.
Yeah, but people get attached to their homes, not just because of the physical building.
They certainly have emotional ties.
And the community, they become part of their community. They like to be able to walk down the street to their usual cafe and know that they will get their usual cup of coffee and go around the corner to their usual grocery store.
Yes, but that's why developers should be building in infill sites and local councils should be encouraging them so that when you want to downsize, you can downsize in the same location.
Yeah.
So you can still go to the same shops and still go to the same cafe, but you can still live in the same area, but live in an apartment, a smaller apartment, rather than a huge house that you rattle around in.
Yep. No, I agree. 100%. So the other thing that's come out of this housing announcement in Victoria, they're going to knock down hundreds of old apartment blocks, which were social housing, and replace them with new developments that will be a mixture of private and social housing, but will increase the number of social housing units overall, which you got to think is a good thing.
Mm.
And they're bringing in quite an innovative idea in renting, that they're going to limit the amount that you can increase your rent by if you end a lease and go and get another tenant in, to try and stop this thing of people
gouging.
Yeah, they're deliberately ending a lease for dubious reasons so that they can put the rent up, because if they put the rent up while the tenant is still there, the tenant can quite reasonably claim if the rent increases is too excessive. They're profiting from a very bad housing situation. So the Victorian government is saying, well, no, if you end a lease and start a new lease, there's a limit on how much extra you can charge for the rent. And presumably that extra amount will not cover the cost of re-letting.
All right, yeah, because that's expensive too.
But I think what's missing in all this, getting back to the Airbnb thing, there's no mention of a registry. And the question arises of how do they know who is renting? I mean,
so much talk of the registry in New South Wales, but
nobody pays any attention.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the difference it has made in New South Wales is that you cannot list your property on Airbnb or Stays if you don't have a number, a registry number.
Mm.
So at least they know, to some extent, who out there is letting short-term lets.
Is that just in New South Wales?
I think there's one in Tasmania as well. It's one of these things, you know, the short-term letting people jump up and down and talk about privacy, and they talk about, oh, it's going to cost jobs and blah, 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 blah. If it isn't hurting the short-term letting industry, then it's not working, would be my view. Because, as I said before, these guys have had a free rein for so long. They've filled their pockets. The Airbnb has become a multi-billion dollar industry across the world. It's time they got their heads pulled in a bit, I think.
Yep. Especially when so many people just really, really, really need housing.
And I think this will spread to New South Wales almost certainly, because New South Wales and Victoria have this kind of competitive thing of who can look after their tenants better. We've got two Labour governments.
Yeah.
They should be
talking to each other
and working out policies that work for everybody.
Because that's good as well. I mean, if they're taking down social housing, but they're replacing it with more social housing, that's a good thing, because in New South Wales, certainly around Sydney, they tend to take away social housing, replace it with very little social housing, really.
Well, the argument in that, I mean, if you're thinking about the Redfern scheme, they are, yeah, they're knocking down a lot of social housing and they're replacing it with, it's going to be more apartments in social housing, but the percentage of apartments is going to be less than it was, because previously it was 100%. Mm. And now it's going to be a lower percentage, but it's still going to house more people.
Yeah, I was actually thinking about the social housing around the rocks.
Yep.
And
the Sirius.
Sirius, where they kind of moved everybody out. And mostly they were kind of putting them in the suburbs, really.
But the biggest mistake they made with that was not to say, look, here is a social housing that replaces that social housing. This is where we're building it. And we're now got housing for more people. Mm. And maybe the reason they didn't say that was because they weren't actually doing that.
Yeah.
But now we've got a Labour government that's committed to housing more people. Mm. Let's see if they can live up to their promises.
And I do like the mix of social housing and private housing.
Yeah.
And studies have shown that people just really enjoy the diversity. I mean, you wouldn't know if you were living next door to a social housing tenant or somebody who owns their own place.
No. Look, things are changing. In Victoria, they will change. In New South Wales, we can just watch and see what happens.
Absolutely.
When we come back, we're going to talk about build to rent. That's after this. We spoke about this last week. You were at a big symposium run by the Australian Financial Review into
housing generally.
Housing,
yeah,
property.
Housing. Yeah.
There was a bit of a controversy. Some of the spokesmen got up and said that.
He's not a spokesman. He was a developer, a private developer, and he runs his own private development group. Very high quality, blue chip developments, really. And yes, he caused an enormous amount of controversy because he was saying basically that unemployment needs to go down much, much.
Might go up.
Sorry, unemployment needs to go up much, much further. And that will kind of really help property prices.
Right.
And it was interesting because I was watching him on stage and I thought, I really dislike this man.
Yeah.
And I spoke to a couple of people, you know, other like property professionals around me, and I said, what did you think of him? They went, oh, well, he is a developer. You kind of have to expect that. But, you know, I've met a lot of developers and some of them are shits.
Yeah.
And I've rarely met one so barefaced,
right,
awful as him, really. And it was quite interesting because there was a real backlash against him and the controversy went around the world, you know, this guy saying this stuff.
We need more pain is what he was saying.
That's right. And then he deleted some of his social media accounts because he was getting so much hate mail.
Trolled,
really.
And quite rightly so.
Well, no, you don't.
No, like, but he would be getting the criticism was justified.
Yes,
let's say that. Let's say that.
Yeah.
Now, at the same time, somebody was talking about build to rent and how that could be a vehicle for investment.
Yeah.
You know, by mum and dad investors.
Yeah,
small
right.
individual investors, let's call them that.
Yeah, because as we know, build to rent is usually done by big developers who develop apartments that they rent out. And
yeah, like Mirvac.
Managed. Yep, and they have really high levels of amenity and facilities and really kind of quite high quality. And the big institutional investors kind of invest in them and they love investing in them because they offer good returns year after year and it's a very steady income. But individual investors can't really get access to them.
No,
really,
unless you invest in the companies that invest.
That's
in,
right. Yeah.
And then you don't know what those companies, what else they're investing in.
Yeah.
Interestingly, last week, HESTA, the Health Services Superfund, has announced that they're putting $100 million into a development in Victoria.
Mm.
And part of the development will be given over to social housing and low-cost housing. And one of the reasons they're getting involved there is because it's very close to hospitals.
Mm.
So their workers who invest in the Superfund, that's where they put their money, are going to be able to benefit from the Superfund investing in a build-to-rent project near where they work.
Yeah.
So it's a nice sort of circular economy thing.
Absolutely.
But I think the breakthrough will be when they find a way of saying, here is an investment. First of all, you can put a moderate amount of money in to this build to rent.
Mm.
But also the key will be you can sell your shares at some point.
Because
that's what a lot of people, they want to put their money into something that offers income and capital growth. That's why they buy apartments in buildings and put renters into them, or, God help us, Airbnb.
Yeah, but they do need an exit strategy is what you're saying.
But the good thing about it is you don't have to worry about finding the tenants, repairing, maintaining the property. Somebody else does all that. These build-to-rent properties, you never hear about them having big defects.
No, because the developers hold on to them. So therefore, if there are any defects, they
just
fix
them
immediately. That's right.
So it takes a whole level of angst out of being an investor.
You can
invest your money, which, you know, you think, well, at least I'm helping people to get housing. You can make an income, you can make a profit, and you don't have to worry about the building falling down and the tenants misbehaving or whatever.
And at the moment, it's only a tiny proportion of Australia's housing stock.
0.2%.
Yeah, that's right. But it's much bigger in Europe,
huge.
Britain, and in
America.
The US. And you can kind of see the appeal. I mean, it's not only people who are content to rent or people who are maybe saving up to buy a house they want to rent in the interim, but it's also a number of downsizers who sell their houses and they get the equity in their houses and then go and rent in a build to rent.
Yeah.
Because then they can actually use their equity on, you know, travel or, you know, put it into their business or use their money for anything really.
Yeah.
And they're suddenly out of the property cycle. But I think that's quite a good thing
too. I think it's a great thing. Mm. It's something that we're going to see growing here. But it was interesting. Susan Lloyd Horwitz, who is an advisor to the government on housing, as she used to be the CEO of Mirvac, was on the radio the other day talking about, you know, how do we solve the housing crisis, et cetera, et cetera. And she said quite simply, we need to build more social housing. Governments in Australia have moved out of building social housing in a big, big way because they've been told that market forces will solve all the problems.
Yeah, I suppose so. But I just wonder if it's something from our colonial or convict past. We look for the security of land ownership.
It's funny, I was teaching my students the other day, you know, doing Australian literature, and they'd never heard the song Waltzing Matilda. And so I found this YouTube clip and Slim Dusty singing Waltzing Matilda, and it was fine. It was funny. But I remembered in listening to that, it always used to confuse me because there's a line in it, up came a squatter mounted on his thoroughbred. Now, growing up in Britain, a squatter was somebody who broke into an empty flat and they and all their mates occupied the flat for free. Or the house for free. They squatted in it and it was illegal and it was squatters were not rich people. It was only when I came to Australia, I discovered that squatters were people who just took over land, claimed it as their own, eventually got a permit to live there or were given the ownership of it. And they were rich. The squatocracy were running the country. I mean, you wrote books about MacArthur. I mean, his, at some point, either he or his antecedents were squatters on the land.
Well, and he tried to do that too. It was some common land, which really annoyed Lachlan Macquarie and was one of the reasons for so much enmity between the pair as well.
Right. So squatters are different things in different countries.
Absolutely. And so maybe here, because we had so much land, you know, we just kind of felt that land ownership was something that we really desired and really needed.
Everybody aspired to, And I think after the First World War, a lot of soldiers, returning soldiers, were given a plot of land, you know. So it is kind of embedded in the Australian culture.
Yeah, it's interesting because I heard that interview as well with Susan Lloyd Horowitz, and the interviewer kept asking her, why is it that Australians are so obsessed with property? And she never answered it, did she? She kept changing the Well, she kept moving on to the messages that she wanted to give how we had to supply more housing and stuff. But she never actually addressed that. Interesting. We have to look into that a bit more.
Yeah. Phone her up. You've got her number. Call her tomorrow. That's enough from us for another week. Thanks, Sue. That's been a stressful day. We both managed to be late for our book signing gigs.
Yeah.
But we got there in the end. And one final reminder, if you go on the Flat Chat website, you'll find a link to a seminar that we are both, we're, what are we doing? We're
mediating panels.
Yes.
Moderating panels.
Moderating panels.
And mediating if they descend into chaos.
Oh, yes. Doing all of that. That's on Friday. Round about lunchtime, it's an OCN event called Strata Matters. So if you've got a bit of spare time, it's, I don't know, it's not free, but it's not expensive.
That's Friday the 23rd.
Friday the 23rd, not Friday the
22nd.
It's Friday the 22nd. It's in North Sydney. And the seats, I think, are going quite fast, but you can still log on and watch it online if you get in and register soon enough. And on that note, thank you for listening, and we will both talk to you again soon. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Flat Chat Wrap podcast. You'll find links to the stories and other references on our website, flatchat.com.au. And if you haven't already done so, you can subscribe to this podcast completely free on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite podcatcher. Just search for Flat Chat Wrap with a W, click on subscribe, and you'll get this podcast every week without even trying. Thanks again. Talk to you again next week.